The first reading is Psalm 29 and can be found on page 558 in the Red Pew Bibles and page 990 in the large print version. Ascribe to the Lord, O mighty ones, ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due to his name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord thunders over the mighty waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is majestic. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. The Lord breaks in pieces the cedars of Lebanon. He makes Lebanon skip like a calf, Syrian like a young wild ox. The voice of the Lord strikes with flashes of lightning. The voice of the Lord shakes the desert. The Lord shakes the desert of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord twists the oaks and strips the forest bare. And in his temple all cry, glory. The Lord sits enthroned over the flood. The Lord is enthroned as king forever. The Lord gives strength to his people. The Lord blesses his people with peace. This is the word of the Lord. The second reading can be found on page 1115 in the Red Pew Bibles and page 1965 in the large print version, and comes from Acts chapter 19, verses 1 to 7. While Apollos was at Corinth, Paul took the road through the interior and arrived at Ephesus. There he found some disciples and asked them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" They answered, "No, we have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit." So Paul asked, "Then what baptism did you receive?" "John's baptism," they replied. Paul said, "John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. He told the people to believe in the one coming after him, that is, in Jesus." On hearing this, they were baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus. When Paul placed his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. There were about 12 men in all. This is the word of the Lord.
May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be now and always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and redeemer. Amen. Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? They answered, "No, we have not even heard there was a Holy Spirit." So Paul asked, "Then what baptism did you receive?" "John's baptism," they replied. A few months ago, during the course of my normal duties at work, I was asked to drive a member of house staff to the railway station. And I was able to use one of, I think, three quite posh motor cars that we have at work. And I'm putting this lady in the car, off we set. Now, I know this lady's been in the car quite a number of times, either driving it herself or I've driven her in it myself, or other members of staff have driven her in it. So I was very surprised when I pressed the button for the panoramic roof, which is this very long piece of glass that's almost the entire length of the car, and opened up the blind and revealed this thing, to her being utterly surprised by this thing. She'd never seen it before, apparently. Being European, of course, she got very excitable about it, unlike anybody here, I'm sure. But she went on and on about it for about 5 or 6 miles until we got to our destination. Anyway, I'll come back to that in a moment. I'd like to spend some time now looking at our New Testament reading, the odd little account in chapter 19 of St. Paul meeting some of the new members of that first century church in Ephesus, who for some reason have not understood or been told a major aspect of our faith. I hope to highlight and remind ourselves of a great thing that should come with our Christian commitment, an important part of our faith that sometimes gets overlooked. I will make some comment on what is considered to be one of the sacraments, baptism, and I'll just lightly touch on that subject. Hopefully we will all leave today with encouragement plus a few gems from the reading, concluding with an answer to a question that we all ought to ask ourselves. Well, now let's have a look at this account found in chapter 19 of Acts. Here we have St. Paul arriving in Ephesus, meeting some people from that newly created church, and we only get a glimpse. Our writer appears to have Paul go straight for the major question, as if he had insight. Or was he moved by the Holy Spirit to ask the question? That is to say, did God guide Paul? Paul, as a Christian, has given over guidance, just as we should, as followers of Jesus, letting the Holy Spirit steer our thoughts. It is worth asking ourselves from time to time, what is it that has most influence on us? Is it the TV? Radio? What do we read? Who do we listen to? Do we have some Bible reading verse each day? Do we pray daily? Do we have fellowship each week with fellow believers? Before I go on, let's just for a moment nip down this side street and have a brief look at the sacraments. What was it that Paul and these disciples were talking about when they referred to John's baptism in verse 3? They're talking of John the Baptist and the sacrament of baptism. Presumably, somebody had seen or heard of this and thought it should be done, as it were, to gain membership. Now, some churches today make strong suggestion that salvation from sin, and therefore eternal life in heaven, is gained through the experience of the sacraments. The Anglican Church is just two, baptism and Holy Communion. The Roman Catholics have seven, baptism, confirmation, Holy Communion, marriage, ordination, penance, and extreme unction. Other churches regard preaching to be a sacrament. I suppose we should argue that all the above should at least be sacred. The technical jargon is that a sacrament is an outward sign of an inward grace. An outward sign of an inward grace. We humans need outward signs of inward feelings and conditions. A husband may give a wife a bouquet of flowers as an outward sign of the love he feels, and she may kiss him. I don't believe that we receive salvation through the sacrament. However, a sacrament is a marker, a sign, of our received blessing, a commemoration, a help on our faith journey, a demonstration to God and our fellowship, and a distinguishing feature of our faith as Christians, and therefore important. Now back to the situation Paul found with these members of this church in Ephesus. We're not told much. We have to accept what they say in their reply. In verse 2, they answered, "No, we have not even heard there is a Holy Spirit." He either all of them were not listening when they were doing the Holy Spirit in their Alpha course, Holy Spirit bit in their Alpha course or Christianity Explored, or the leader did not tell them. I expect, like many people, they were attracted by the numerous good things that the Christian community does. The fellowship and friendship, the ideals of Jesus in personal living and charity. Maybe they enjoyed singing in a large group. Or perhaps they were feeling rather hurt by some recent event. However, what is refreshing as we read on, these people were willing to have dialogue with Paul. They may have already known of Paul from other Christians, or just by his personality and good character, they recognized his God-given gift. He was keen for them to receive the full measure of our faith, and they were willing to learn and advance on their faith journey. Just as any of us on our faith journey would surely do, looking towards Jesus as our ultimate role, and the likes of St. Paul and those with similar Christian maturity may be here within our own fellowship. Going on in the account, we read that they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, and Paul placed his hands on them. No time frame is given here, but we read that after receiving the Holy Spirit, they spoke in tongues and prophesied. Again, these people were willing to accept the full measure and then express this through speaking in tongues and prophesying. They were blessed by God because they were willing and humble. Well, I can't leave it just there. As we say in our creed, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. And we go on to say, I believe in the Holy Spirit. I do believe these statements. I believe that Christ died for my sin and failing. And because he was resurrected and ascended into heaven, I do believe that one day I will be in heaven with our Lord Jesus. I don't believe this will happen because I've attended the church for over 40 years, or because my dad and granddad were both ordained in the Church of England, nor that I've experienced the sacrament of baptism and Holy Communion. Commendable and recommended, of course. I believe that I will be with my Lord Jesus in heaven one day because I made a personal decision of faith. I decided to believe in God as my Heavenly Father. I accept the Lord Jesus as a real person and my ultimate role model. And I believe I received the Holy Spirit at the same time. That was back in December 1979. It does not mean I've led a perfect Christian life since. It is a journey of sunny days, of stormy days. But I have hope in Jesus. And as you may have heard me say before, when I've failed to believe or been weak in my faith, for some amazing reason God believes in me. And let me assure you that God believes in you and loves you too. John chapter 3 verse 16, God loved each and every one of us and sent Jesus. Do I speak, or have I ever spoken in tongues or prophesied like the men in the account did? No, but I'm not worried. The proof of the Holy Spirit comes in many forms. Paul lists 9 fruits in Galatians chapter 5. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, and self-control. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul writes about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. He says, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but all of them, and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. And he goes on to list a message of wisdom, a message of knowledge, faith, healing, miraculous powers, prophecy, speaking in tongue, interpretation of tongue. He says all these are the work of one and the same Spirit. And he distributes them to each one just as he determines. May I suggest that all of us in our prayer time ask for the fruit of the Holy Spirit to grow and mature, and for our gifts to develop too. I said for me that December 1979 was when I made a personal decision of faith, recognising that because of my sin and failing, I needed Jesus Christ. Some here will also be able to point to a date, and others will know it was more of a gradual revelation. Certainly my knowledge may grow, but every now and again I have to go back and ask for a restart. And that's okay. Some here might like to note the 11th of January 2015. I'm going to close in a moment with a prayer. I will pray it in a personal way, and I shall use words including Heavenly Father, sin, salvation, Jesus Christ, and Holy Spirit. Some may feel this is a new start or a restart. If that is the case, then please tell someone. Speak to Jonathan or one of the members of the clergy or myself. We would love to be part of that journey with you, as it were, you discovered that button that opens up the panoramic roof. Let us pray now. Dear Heavenly Father, please hear my prayer. I'd like to say sorry for my sin and failing. I would like to start again with Jesus Christ as my Saviour and example. I'd like to receive the Holy Spirit to be my guide in all I think and do. And one day to enjoy eternal peace with you. I ask these things in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen.